And so good evening, my dear people. I ask first that you extend your hands over me as I ask that Holy Spirit to be with us this evening. And let us take a moment and let us call on that Holy Spirit. Let that Holy Spirit breathe through each of us. In every breath we take, it is God that we breathe in and out. And so we come with that Holy Spirit in our lives and in our heart. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit. Renew in me your word and love in my heart. Renew and breathe in me, Holy Spirit. Let me bring joy and hope to your people's hearts. Breathe on them, Holy Spirit. Breathe and fire your people's hearts. Renew in them your joy and purpose. Fire in them the love of your heart. And we ask this through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, one God with you, Lord, forever and ever.
Amen.
And so as we continue this evening, I was told that our theme is that we hear Jesus say, I am the light of the world. If you truly walk with me, you will walk out of darkness. And so I can't help but think of that one song, that one hymn. So I hope you're going to be interactive, you know. You think because I can't see you in the dark over there, you know. And I was with a friend before this evening, and he said, now, Father, if I lower my eyes on you and or close them, I'm actually praying for you. And so I hope we're interactive this evening. And I walk around, I'm sorry if the light can't keep up with me, but this is my aerobics. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the end of day. You got it? Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray, I pray. Keep me burning, keep me burning till the end of day. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia to the risen King. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia to the King. Alleluia to the King. Now, and that wasn't too bad. And hopefully wherever my friend is, he's not closed his eyes and praying for me right now. I am a pure Michigander. I was born in Michigan. And I hear we have some Upper Peninsula people. What do we call them? Yes, and I know what they call us down here. But as a pure Michigander, or Michiganian, one of my passions and love is fishing. Anyone like to fish? Yeah, anyone have a boat? Anyone go fishing? Yeah. And I was out fishing with my brother one day. He has a 20-foot sea nymph. They don't make them anymore. But it still stays afloat, and that's what matters. And we were fishing. We weren't getting anything all day. So we were in Lake Erie, and we came up. We went near Trenton. We went near Wyandotte. So my brother finally said, well, let's go up the Detroit River. And it was getting dark. And at one point, as it got very dark, my brother's boat engine stalled. And I could see coming down the main part of the Detroit River, an ore carrier. And I'm thinking, we're kind of floating pretty close into the shipping lane here, you know? And I'm watching that. My brother's trying, he's a mechanic, thank God. My brother's trying to get that engine going, and this ore carrier is coming closer and closer. Well, thank goodness my brother had his one little light on the front of the boat, you know, that little light, and that one little red light on the back of the boat. And I was just watching this ore carrier come down the shipping lane as our 20-foot sea nymph was going closer and closer into the center of the river. And my brother's there working on the mice. I says, "Bill, you gotta look." He says, "Don't interrupt me right now, you know, good mechanic. I'm working on the engine." And I saw this ore carrier get closer and closer. And I said, "Bill, we're in trouble." And he looked, and all of a sudden the ore carrier moved over a little. And as it was going by us, and I don't know how many feet, because I was there petrified, I heard this voice from the ore carrier go, "Thank God we saw that little light." And all I could do was yell back up and say, "Thank God, because I thought I might see a different light." And then the ore carrier honked its, you know, horn and let us know it was okay. But it was amazing, in that amount of darkness, that just that little light could be seen. My parents are from Muskegon, Michigan, where I also went with my brother. They were born and raised there, came to Detroit because they had to keep Dad's job at Marathon. They were closing the oil refinery there. So they said, "If you want to keep a job with Marathon Oil, you have to move to Detroit." So my brother and I were born in Detroit. We'd go back to Muskegon 8, 10, 12 times a year. Again, it's a boat story. My uncles all had boats. My cousins had boats. But we always heard this one story. And our community in Muskegon always liked to gather around the lighthouse. Don't we have beautiful lighthouses in Michigan? We have the best lighthouses. I don't care what you think. I don't care what people say when they come to us. We have this gorgeous coastline, and we have plenty of beautiful lighthouses. Well, my great uncles used to tell us this one story, because we used to like to go out on the boat as cousins and nephews, and we weren't always doing the safest things in these boats. We were zooming along, going past the speed limit. But the great uncles used to always come and tell us this one story. And I remember the one uncle said, "In 1957, before all of you were born, there was the SS Callahan." We said, "Oh yeah, fine, right." "The SS Callahan one day was in a very bad storm. And it was one of those ore carriers that had, you know, not much of the modern technology yet. And it got disoriented. And it was cloudy and foggy, almost like the fog coming here from Rochester, you know, over to Clawson. Did you have fog when you came? I thought we were like in this fog, the movie The Fog. And we got here. In 1957, there was this bad fog. There was a bad storm on Lake Michigan. And the SS, which was the SS what? Callahan, was trying to radio ahead because all of a sudden they saw this light. And they said, they radioed ahead and said, identify yourself. We are heading straight ahead. And you must move your vessel 1.58 nautical miles starboard. All of a sudden, the radio came back. No, you move your ship 1.58 starboard. Well, the radio operator said, "We are the SS Callahan, one of the largest ore carriers on the Great Lakes. You move your vessel 1.58 nautical miles." Voice came back, "No, you move your vessel. We are the SS Callahan. We are an ore carrier. We have ore, 200,000 tons of ore. Move your vessel." The voice came back and said, "We suggest as you draw closer, you move your vessel because you're an ore carrier. You're carrying 200,000 tons of ore, but we are the lighthouse." I say that because in our lives, many times we want our light to shine. We want others to move out of the way so our light can shine. But God comes along and says, your light's not going to get you too far. If you only go with your light, you're going to hit obstacles. You and I are going to have trouble. So God says, follow my light. I'm sending you Jesus Christ, who we read in the Gospel of John says, I am the light of the world. That's the only light you and I can truly follow. But see, we have these tendencies in our lives. I'm in charge. It's about me. It's what brings me pleasure. What's make me feel good. And Jesus says, no, follow and you will walk out of darkness and see the great light. I was in one of the confessionals not too long ago. I have some papers here. And someone was telling me, I'm not breaking the seal because it's a general thing. Someone was saying, you know, Father, I have to share something with you. I'm really having a problem. Now, I'm new to these smartphones. You know, my 25-year-old nephew is teaching me about the smartphones. Matter of fact, I got the kind he got so he can help me. Sometimes I'll text, and of course, I'm an English major, so I'm doing all the correct punctuation, you know, spelling the word. If it's misspelled, I go back and spell it correctly. So, you know, it takes my nephew 10 seconds. It takes me 2 minutes, you know, to correctly send my text. Grammatically, you know? And there would be times I'd say, you know, Eric, I don't know how to do this. The first time I tried to find the light on my phone, I was with an older parishioner at the Rochester Chop House, and she says, you know, Father, I can't see the menu. Don't worry. I have a light on my cell phone. So I'm there going like this, trying to figure it out. And I say, well, you know, I got to impress this elder of the community. So I text my nephew, Eric. I said, where's the light on my iPhone? My dear nephew, instead of trying to explain it to me, says, Uncle, I'm going to take a picture and send it to you. So again, he sends the picture, and I find the light on the smartphone, and then I showed the lady the menu. Yeah, you know? And so I'm getting used to this thing. But the one thing that keeps haunting me are when it says, you have new apps. I'm going, apps? And so I'm looking at this thing, and it's about apps. And it says App Store. And then it says, you have new apps. You can see the new apps. There are new apps that you could love, new games to love, what we're playing today. And it even says, you know, what's the one where you have to, you know, update your app, right? They'll get 2 updates on your app phone, you know. And I'm there going, oh my gosh, this is kind of complicated. Well, the other day, this person was sharing with me, said, Father, I have an app on my iPhone that's helping me in my spiritual life. I said, oh, can you tell me? Because I did get the breviary. I can read the breviary on my, you know, my smartphone, so I felt pretty good. And she says, no, I have an app that's called App Detox. I said, App Detox? I'm going to put this down here not to be irreverent. App Detox. It says, learn how often and how much you are using your apps on App Detox. Create different rules to control your app usage at App Detox. It will show you your activity based. Sometimes, number of launches, specific day times at App Detox. Keep an eye on your own rule breaks at App Detox. Yeah, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And then it says, protect your rules with a pin. Enter your PIN on App Detox. Customize your rule behavior and notifications. Rule suspension. You can allow yourself to pause or resume rules. You can make rules. I didn't know I could make my own rules on an app. I didn't know I could make my own rules on a smartphone. And it says here, you can do rule suspension. You can allow yourself to pause and resume the rules. If the usage time is up, this is the one I like.
don't do anything.
It says notifies your launches, remaining launches, notifies your remaining usage time. You can even turn your passcode off. Why am I sharing about this app detox? Because I think in our lives, don't get me wrong, modern technology is great. It's beautiful. It can draw us to God. As I, oh, I already got a notice. Low battery. I do know what to do here. Is it charging? Good. Okay. We have this thing in our lives and in our faith. And the world around us is moving so incredibly fast with modern technology. And it's so wonderful. But we have to choose what we're going to do with it. Because it can be wonderful and constructive, or it can be destructive. It can be great. And when this person shared that they went and they have an app detox on their smartphone, it started to make sense to me. Because there are things that can be very toxic in our lives, especially our spiritual lives. And when we hear that theme about let your light shine, when we hear that theme about, hey, we have to allow Christ to be the light, because in the world it says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so you and I have to look at what are those things in our lives where they're almost like toxins. What are the things, if we're going to allow Christ to be the light of the world, where we have to detox ourselves with some kind of spiritual app? If I'm going to allow Christ to be that light, if I'm going to allow Christ to allow me to help stay out of darkness, I have to look at what is my spiritual app detox. Because when we're looking at the light, we're called to follow the light, know the light, engage the light, allow the light, use the light, and of course, endure the light. And finally, Christ says to each one of us, be the light. But there's so many toxins around. There's so much darkness in our lives. It was interesting to me that they've been doing different surveys right now on these different kinds of smartphones. They said 1 in every 5 people owns a smartphone. That's more than 1 billion people. Our devices have become an extension of ourselves. They are company in some of the most monumental, meaningful, and intimate experiences of our lives. We bring them everywhere. To the bathroom. We keep them near us while we sleep. We invite them to dinner. We clutch them tightly when we meet the Pope. And we even use it during the priest homily. You don't do that, do you? Not you. You're awakened. There are no iPhones or smartphones at the Mass while the priest is preaching. Well, I got to make that dinner reservation. Wait, aren't we having brunch today, honey? I'll let Father go on. I got to get that table at the Lalulu Golf Club. But you and I are called. We're called to see. We're called to be the light in a world that would rather be in the darkness. I got in trouble one time when I was teaching in the high school because I was preaching at a Mass one day, and it was an all-girls Catholic high school. About 35% were Catholic. The rest were from different faiths. And the bishop called me. He said, Father, I've gotten a couple phone calls about your homily yesterday. And I says, Bishop, really? About my homily at the school? He says, there were a few people there, including some grandparents, who were very upset with you. I said, well, what were they upset about, Bishop? Well, it seems you called them cockroaches. And I said, I called them cockroaches? I said to people that we must not be afraid to walk in the light. Because if we stay in the dark, it's like when there's a cockroach infestation in our house. See, they don't like the light. And when you turn on the light, cockroaches try to move because they like the dark. And they'll move along to the sides of the kitchen, to the kitchen cabinets and to the walls. I was in the Caribbean for 22 years. And the cockroach community doesn't like the light. They prefer the dark. So I was told I was calling people cockroaches. I said, no, Bishop. I just challenged your people. Now they're his people. Your people. I just invited your people. I just called forth your people to be people who are not afraid of the light. Embrace the light. Too many times we want to be in the dark. It's like something Matthew Kelly said. I don't know if you've read his recent book, Resisting Happiness. Have you read his book? Are you reading his book? Matthew Kelly's a great writer. Have any of you heard Matthew speak? Have you been to one of Matthew Kelly's talks? Okay, well, if you get a chance, hey, amen, right? And in Resisting Happiness, he says something very interesting in chapter 32. He says, let your light shine. Lucia lux vestra. Let your light shine. But it's really important at the end of that chapter what he says. You and I are called to let our light shine. But there are moments we don't want to. Maybe it's out of fear, laziness, procrastination, selfishness, addiction, obsession, comparing yourself to others, allowing your critics to drain your energy and direct your life. Oh, I got a story about young priests who get very drained easily from God's people. Let me finish that part first. You know, when young priests are ordained, they really want to serve God. And they love God's people. They really do. And they want to be friends with all of God's people. Now, I've been a priest almost 25 years in March. I love God's people. I want to be friends with all of God's people. But it isn't going to work. Because if you stand in the light, there will always be someone who would rather stay in the
dark.
Yeah, stay in the dark. And I know sometimes young priests come out newly ordained, the oil's still wet on them. They want everyone to feel happy, to be glad, you know, to embrace God's kingdom like a fuzzy wuzzy experience of Jesus. But what I reminded the two associates who were with me when I was the pastor in St. Martin, I said, you know what? If you go to please everyone, you will end up pleasing no one. In the dark, yeah. That was a good answer too. In the dark. Because sometimes we really want to be upbeat. We really want to be joyful. We really want to let God's people know that they are loved. But there'll always be someone who doesn't like you. And as priest, I have that too. Maybe Father Stephen doesn't, but you know, God bless you. I'll move over here. There always will be someone who doesn't like you. Are you with me?
Yes.
Huh? Are you with me?
Yes.
And especially as young priests who are newly ordained and they want everyone to love them and be pleased with them and they want to say God loves you and fuzzy wuzzy was God and all of this. But sometimes the people that don't like you, they don't even know why they don't like you. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes they don't even know why they don't like you. And so when I hear Matthew Kelly saying that, back to Matthew Kelly, he says, you know, when we want to let our light shine, sometimes allowing your critics to drain your energy and direct your life is part of that darkness. An unwillingness to move beyond your comfort zone, self-doubt, gossip, negative relationships, worry, excuses. These are all things that do not allow us to let our light shine, to let Jesus be the light. Because sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid of saying the right thing. We're afraid of doing the right thing. We're afraid of hurting someone. The concern about political correctness is not an issue for the kingdom of God. God is not worried whether he is politically correct. God is worried about the truth and how we live the truth. And nothing should ever divide us. That's why when we get into certain groups and situations, we actually end up in the dark. There should be nothing in this country that divides our Catholic community. Before anything else, before any philosophies or ideologies, or any other thing that we think forms us, we are Catholics first. We are brothers and sisters in the faith first. And people want us to walk in the dark, to be divided. And you and I are reminded, Christ is our light. He is the one. And so there should be no agenda that divides the Catholic Church. We can disagree on things. We can come in here with different disagreements, different opinions, different perspectives, different agendas, but we must allow Jesus to be the light. We must allow Jesus to shine in our hearts as Catholics, where nothing interferes from the outside world to divide our Catholic community. I told you, and I understand, there's different opinions. There are different perspectives. There are different theologies. There are different ways of worship. But if we remember John saying, in my house, in my mansion, there are many rooms. As long as you and I know that we are called to walk in the light. Walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light of the Lord. But what's going to cause you and I to walk in that light? See, when the Magi saw the light through a star, they were the foreigners. They were the outsiders. They were the non-belongers. And when they came to Jerusalem, Herod was afraid of that light. Herod understood the light. He understood some truth about the light. But he was in trouble with the light. As one author says, we are called to endure the light, but people like King Herod wanted to put it out. There are people like that. They're afraid they're going to lose their power. They're going to be afraid they lose their prestige or their status or whatever they have collected on this earth. And so these three wise men, there might have been more than three, but for us it's three at least. It doesn't really matter how many. They come because they follow a light called the star. And they keep and endure with that light. Even when they get to the people whom they think should know about the light, who then become afraid of the light. Herod and the Pharisees and the scribes, they looked it up, they knew about the light, but they were afraid. Herod was afraid of the light because the light is there to give truth. The truth will set us free. But not for people like Herod. He was afraid of that light. And so when they go to that light, when those three strangers come, they came with gifts. And after they presented those three gifts, they then, it says in the gospel, took a different journey home. They took a different way home. And that's the challenge we have as Catholics in our nation today, in our world today. That's the challenge we have in each of our own hearts. As a Catholic, we are called to follow the light. But once we get to the light, once we've encountered the light, once we've embraced the light, we are called to take a different way home. Our lives have to be different. Our lives have to be solidified with the power of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us through our baptism, when our parents and godparents brought us for baptism, there was a light, a candle at our baptism. And there was this expression in the baptismal rite for each one of us that said, may this child walk in the light of the Lord. And may you as parents and godparents help that child walk in the light. And that's why godparents didn't like me, because I used to be hard on godparents. You know, parents were there and sometimes, you know, at least the parents came with the right intention in their heart. But sometimes they would want to bring someone as a godparent. Well, they were baptized at one time, but they weren't coming to church. But you know, Father, she's my sister. You know, oh, well, Father, you know, we're good friends at work. I used to really get it when in the Caribbean community in St. Martin, the Methodist and the Anglican churches have a letter. And if you're a Catholic, you have to take your letter to your priest to get signed. Because in the Methodist and in the Anglican churches, they'll allow Catholics to be godparents. But each of their letters has an interesting sentence or phrase. It says, the person below signing this, a minister, priest, or pastor, is signing that this person is a fully active participating member of their church and recommends them for baptism. When I was in St. Martin, I was pastor for 5.5 years, and I would get someone come to me, and I had been there. This happened 2-3 years after I was still there as pastor. Someone would come and say, Father, I need you to sign this paper. I says, well, what is it? Well, you have to sign it so I can be a godparent in the Methodist church. I said, excuse me, but who are you? They said, I'm a Catholic. I said, okay, I didn't ask what you were. I said, who are you? Well, I'm so-and-so. I'm Mary Jane, or I'm Tom Tolulu. And I'm a Catholic. I was baptized. I said, but I don't remember. Which of the three churches do you go to? Which of the masses do you tend to go to regularly? Well, you know, Father, I work really hard. And 2 Sundays a month I've got to work, and the other 2 Sundays I have to recover from the work. So I don't come to church that often. And I said, but do you read this paper? It says you must be an active, fully participating member of the community. And I've got to sign it. It's my reputation on the line. Do you understand that? Well, yeah. Well, and then they'll look and say, well, are you still going to sign it? I said, I can't. Why don't you come back to church? Come back to your community. Come back to us. We're missing you. We want you to come home. And once you started practicing your faith, well, then, you know, I can sign that. But I can't sign that in good conscience. You're not going to sign it. I can't. I'd like to speak to the tall priest. The tall priest was the pastor before me who left 3 years before me. And so you and I are reminded that if we're truly walking in the light of the Lord, we have our baptism. Because we were told at that baptismal moment, whether we were young or a baby or a child or an adult, that we are going to walk in the light of the Lord. We have been enlightened. And so our lives are filled with that Holy Spirit through our baptism. And then those gifts of the Spirit are manifested in our confirmation. So we become alive. We have the strength to walk in the light of the Lord because we've been baptized. We are an adopted child of the Lord, and we are called to embrace the light, to engage the light, to endure the light. But we are also called to be that light. Pope Francis says to our young people, in 2018, there's going to be a synod, and he's preparing for it already. It's called For Young People, the Faith and Vocational Discernment. And he's written a letter to our young people already. And he says, dear young people, discover God's plan in your life. Don't be afraid to walk in the light. He says, discover God's plan for your life. He says, go. Jesus looks at you. He invites you. Have you noticed his look? Have you heard his invitation? Have you understood when he says go, what that means to go? Have you felt the urge to undertake the journey? Pope Francis invites us to join him on that journey, to walk in the light. And so tonight we have a choice. There's a lot of things that could be the darkness in our hearts. There's a lot of things that could be the darkness in our families, and in our community, in our nation, and in this world. When you hear about all these things happening, when you hear about bullying, those 4 young people bullying that mentally challenged young person, when you see the things that are happening on Facebook, where people want to show graphic and awful and just very ugly moments of their humanity. And they want to just show that across Facebook. We are called to walk in the light. We are called to be the light as Christ is the light for you and I. And so, my dear people, do not be afraid. Look at that app called Detox of your spiritual life. Look at that app and say, what are the toxins that are causing me to stay in the darkness and not walk truly in the light with Jesus our Christ? It's interesting that there's a story about someone who was talking about being AOD. And they were referring to the movie As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson. I don't know if any of you have seen that. Remember that? As Good As It Gets? It's a little dated, but it said that Jack Nicholson had his obsessions. He included washing his hands multiple times with scalding water to remove unseen germs, or locking or unlocking doors to ensure that they were indeed locked. He had a form, an extreme form of obsession called OCD, Obsessive Compulsive Disorder. For us as Catholics, our OCD is outer Catholic disorder. When you and I act like we're Catholic externally, but we don't live Catholic in our hearts.
I go to Mass once a week, Father. That should be good. You know, I practice the sacraments. I get my children baptized. We come for marriage. We even come to Mary. What else do you want from me? Oh, and I even put money in the collection, Father.
But that's only the OCD of our spirituality, that outer Catholic disorder. We are more than that. We are more than just simple rituals. We are more than just simple moments. We are the light of the world. And Matthew 5 says, let your light
shine.
Do not be afraid. For you and I are the light and the salt. And a city built on a hill cannot be seen. We have to take our light from under the bushel basket and let it shine. So that OCD will no longer be outer Catholic disorder, but it will be, O come divine. O come divine. And so tonight I leave you with being the light, allowing Christ to light our hearts, allowing Christ to interfere and change our lives, where we truly know that we must walk out of darkness and be one Catholic community, even with our differences, even with our difference of opinions and our perspectives and our agendas and all of our theologies, because we are the light of the Lord. We are called to be that light on the hill, shining brightly. And so I close with an old Caribbean folk song. And I invite you to enter into that light.
Shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Light a candle, everything's all right. Light a candle, everything's all right. Shut the door. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night. Shut the door.
Keep out the devil.
Light a candle, everything's
all right.
Light a candle, everything's
all right.
No matter how dark it is, no matter how traumatic we've had it in our lives, no matter how sad, no matter how depressed we are, Christ is that light. It might look like a little light on the back of a fishing boat, but it is the light. And that big ore carrier could see the difference. That big ore carrier could see just that little light, and it made a difference.
Shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in the night.
Shut the door.
Keep out the devil. Light a candle, everything's all right. Light a candle, everything's all right. Light a candle, everything's all right.